Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, July 28th, 2019. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 33. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of the 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 20, I will not destroy it." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way. when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." You know, I once heard someone say prayer is a sign of weakness. Self-sufficient people don't pray. Well, I guess I'm not self-sufficient. And for that, of course, I'm glad. Now, how about you? When you recognize how frail and vulnerable you really are, prayer becomes all the more indispensable in our lives. And whether people want to admit it or not, everyone is dependent on something or someone. So upon what or upon whom do you rely? Prayer reminds us that we are dependent upon God. Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray. Now we need to learn how to pray as well. It is important for us to understand prayer and to pray joyfully and without compulsion, out of a heart that depends on God for absolutely everything in our lives. All right, have you ever read a book about prayer? Have you ever taken a class or gone to a seminar about prayer? Well, that won't teach you to pray. You see, the true spirit of prayer is from above. And that's why the disciples went straight to the source, to Jesus himself, and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus would teach us to pray as well. So, my friends, are you ready to learn from the Master himself? Well, we need to answer this question first of all. What is prayer? Prayer is God's command. And it is the privilege that God gives to you and everyone who believes in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." So what is prayer? Prayer is simply speaking to God in our words and thoughts. It is not the mindless resuscitation of words. It is the inward communication of our hearts. Without connecting our hearts to our prayers, what we end up uttering is nothing more than an abomination to God. But when we pray what is inside of us, when we speak honestly with God, we can know that He will hear us and that He will help us. To whom do we pray? Now, that might seem a silly question to you, but people will ask it. We have been taught who to pray to, haven't we? We are to pray to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No idols, no saints, none of our dearly departed loved ones, or anything or anyone else that God has created. Because God is the Creator. And therefore we pray in the name of Jesus Christ and Jesus only. Because He is the mediator between God and man. And our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Here's the big one. What do we ask for? Well, we ask for everything that brings glory to our God and to our own and our neighbor's physical needs and spiritual needs. We pray for the welfare of ourselves and others. We thank and praise God for who He is and what He has done for us. And as the Bible says, we are not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Okay, when should we pray? All the time. All the time. The Bible tells us we should pray continually, and most especially in our homes, by ourselves and with our families, here at church, and most certainly in times of trouble. There are three ministers. They were sitting down and having a chat. They were talking about the ways in which they pray. Now, while they were chatting, there was a telephone repairman nearby at work on the church's phone system. And he was quietly listening in, eavesdropping on their conversation. One minister always held his hands together and pointed them upward as a form of symbolic worship. The second insisted that real prayer can only take place on your knees. And the third said they had it both wrong. The only appropriate way in which to pray is stretched out flat on your face. Well, finally, the repairman felt compelled to interject. I found that the most powerful prayer that I ever made was while dangling upside down by my heels from a power pole, suspended 40 feet above the ground. Makes sense to me. You see, when we are in need of help, prayer leads us to the God who helps us in our time of need. Now, with all that said, there is a problem. We know that prayer is a most powerful gift from God, but we are guilty of using it so very sparingly. We spend so much of our time working, sleeping, and playing, entertaining ourselves, that we take no time to pray. You know, Martin Luther once said he didn't know how he could get through a day if he didn't spend at least an hour in prayer. Now, what would you say to God for a whole hour in prayer? You don't know? Then you need to be taught how to pray. Now, why should we desire to be taught how to pray? Because prayer moves the hand that moves all things. And the greatest thing anyone could say about you is that you are a woman or a man of prayer. For to be a person of prayer is the safest, the happiest, and the most profitable of all employments. My friends, we should want to learn how to pray because we aren't born knowing how to pray. Do you realize how ignorant we are of prayer until we are taught how to do so? The Bible says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We should want to learn how to pray because it is what God our Father wants for us. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Well, Jesus is ready. He is ready to teach us how to pray. Now, why should we learn from Him? He's certainly known for his prayers, first of all. He often went off by himself to pray. And he often looked up to heaven and prayed. Some of these prayers are recorded in the gospel accounts. He prayed when he preached and when he did miracles. He prayed when he was baptized and when he was tempted. Jesus prayed as he died on the cross. He prayed that God would forgive those who put him to death. His dying breath was given to a prayer. Who is better qualified to teach you to pray than Jesus Christ Himself? And Jesus tells us, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us the perfect model for all our prayers. Now, that's why we study the Lord's Prayer so carefully in confirmation. And my friends, many of you are well past confirmation, but you would do so well to study it yourselves. For everything you can ever ask of God is contained in this prayer. So, I am going to encourage you to try this. Pray the Lord's Prayer in a brand new way. Pray each petition to God, then read the Catechism's explanation, then confess of your weakness, and seek the Lord's strength in that area of your life. Now, I know some of you are going to say, "Pastor, I don't know where my catechism is." Well, if you think that lets you off the hook, it doesn't. I have plenty of catechisms in my office. And you are most welcome to one at no cost whatsoever. And if you ever invested in a hymnal, I can tell you it's on pages 323 to 325. Learn those numbers. When you say, "Our Father who art in heaven," the Catechism says, what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we should ask Him, as dear children ask their dear Father. Now, in your own words, thank God for being your Heavenly Father and think about all the good things that He has done for you. Then confess to God that you have sinned against Him, that you have not acted as though He were your Father and you were His child. And then thank Him for the mercy of Jesus Christ who takes away the penalty of your sins. And then ask God to help you remember that He is your loving Father and to help you with all the problems you may have right now. That's what I want you to do. And here's what I want you to do. Take the next 7 days to pray in this way. One petition at a time, one petition each day. Now, it won't likely take you an hour, but you're going to learn how easy it is to spend an hour in prayer with your Lord when you do it. Now, don't stop there, okay? Because you need to spend time with your God every single day. Get up a little earlier, stay up a little later, and have a personal conversation with God. When you are confronted with a problem, before you do anything important, before you make any decision, stop and pray. And then, after you pray, trust that God hears you, that He will answer you, and then look for the returns. Because if you pay close attention, I will promise you this, you will see God at work in your lives. You never have to go it alone. He will be there to uphold you and to help you. A man received a letter from a friend. The letter said, "Good morning. I've been waiting to hear from you. I saw you go to work yesterday, but you didn't say good morning to me. I was there with you for lunch, but you didn't invite me to join you. You drove home in the car with me, but you never said a word to me. I spent the evening in your living room, but you didn't acknowledge I was there. Every day you act this way towards me. We used to talk so much, but you haven't spoken to me in a long time. I'm ready to help you with your problems, but you never ask me. I'm not giving up on you. Please don't give up on me. Signed, Jesus Christ." My dear family in Christ, how can God answer prayers that are never offered? How can He hear you when you do not speak to Him? How blessed we are to know that we have 24/7 access to God in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord, our brother and friend. On this day, I want you to remember that Jesus died to remove all the barriers that once existed between you and God. They're gone. And Jesus has opened the door of God's heavenly throne room to you. And there God is seated and God waits to hear from you. Enter in and be happy that He wants you to be dependent upon Him. And then open your mouths and your hearts to Him. Devote yourselves to prayer starting today. God grant that you do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the days of your servant.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.